Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Matt's Planning. On today's episode, I have an expert on who I'm very excited to talk to. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hey, my name is Lauren Petrie. I'm a comedian. I'm a podcaster, obviously, because I'm a comic. But I have read for years, I mean, probably hundreds of books on serial killers, and specifically serial killer psychology, which is classified as abnormal psychology. Disclaimer, I am not I do not have a degree. I did not go to school for this. I have no accreditation. I am an armchair expert. It's just been a focused laser interest of mine for a long time.
Excellent. My understanding of serial killer psychology is, I mean, I don't know if I have as much experience as you. I would argue that with that amount of reading, you probably could have like at least an associate's degree, but you just have to get somebody to sign a piece of paper.
I'd have to do math again and all that crap.
Exactly. And who needs that really these days? But ultimately, a serial killer is kind of they're depending upon if you're using the DSM-4, the DSM-5, and how you kind of look at the tendencies. There's a couple of factors, like, for instance, lack of empathy, disregard of laws or other people's rights. There's lack of remorse. Those are the pretty main indicators. These are also the primary skills that you are taught in most business schools. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of false positive serial killers of, oh, this person's just really good. He's going to be really great at business school. And so like it's like they're hitting all the factors. They took this test. Oh, they're going to be this horrible serial killer. No, they're just going to do a mergers and acquisition deal and lay off 1,000 people.
They are called pro-social psychopaths.
Okay, interesting. And then also surprisingly enough, these skills are also taught in pastry school. And a lot of pastry chefs actually are what I would say is like failed serial killers because they just lack the amount of time to provide the effort to go after people and figure out what they want because they are so perfection oriented.
They work nights, so it takes away all their killing time.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Sure. Those early mornings baking times, those are the prime time for stalking people, figuring out what you want. But if you don't get in to bake that bread and pipe those icing onto the cakes, you're not going to have a successful business to cover up what you want to do. And that's why you see so many pastry chefs teaming up with small business owners, specifically like barbers and stuff like that. Because then the barbers can get a little bit more of the killing out of the way. And then there's a natural tendency to have in some instances, the bodies used to make meat pies, other instances just to maintain pouches or watches or other items to keep as trophies. And that's why there's kind of that symbiotic relationship. So if you ever see a barbershop or a pastry shop really in close proximity to each other, maybe go someplace else, or a pastry shop next to like a laser tag arena. A lot of nefarious things happen in laser tag arenas or like smash rooms, I think, as well. Very, very concerning.
The only baker that was a serial killer is Robert Hansen in Alaska. But anyway, go on.
Okay. I mean, there's probably more. There's probably more, but you never know that they could be just really, really good at covering it up. And then there's also four different types of standard serial killers based on my understanding. So you have the design oriented or the this is my design types. Then you have the wanting to do good, but to bad people tendencies. So they've kind of been kind of targeting folks who they believe to be bad. Then you have the Rube Goldberg disgruntled engineer types, where they're very, very talented engineers and they can make amazing machines, but they have ulterior motives. So they want to make people learn new lessons about their lives and like have epiphanies because they survived these elaborate traps. And then finally, you have kind of a catch-all section, which is clown or other creative children's entertainer that has become disgruntled over time due to lack of opportunities, usually because of the businessmen who have put them out of the job because of what they learned in business school.
That's all bullshit, but you're hilarious.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind. This leads to the next question. About how much of that would you say was accurate?
out of 5 skulls, I give you 1.
1 skull. Okay. Yeah. That's a new rating for me. I love getting 1 skull.
Well, what you said in the beginning was right about psychopathy, that many of them are geared towards, like you said, corporate jobs, CEOs, anything that requires something that's high stress and that you don't have to have a lot of empathy or fear, because true psychopaths don't have anxiety or fear. So they make great fighter pilots. They make great trauma surgeons, things that are really high pressure that most people would really be sweating about. Those are called pro-social psychopaths. There's a great book called The Wisdom of Psychopaths about psychopaths that don't get into murder because they realize the laws and they don't want to go to jail. And they usually seem to have pretty productive and lives, and they seem to be very successful usually. But if you talk to people in their private life, they're assholes. Usually. So right. We all know somebody like this, a super successful asshole. And you're just like, I guess there's no karma because they just keep doing well. It's lots of people. Now, I mean, I think obviously the listeners know the crap he said about bakers and all of that was just fun. But there's one baker, like I said, Robert Hansen in Alaska. He happened to be a baker. His thing was to go kidnap prostitutes, and then he would fly them in his plane to a remote island, and he would set them free, and then he would hunt them, like literally in the forest.
Oh no. Yeah. That's,
well, I mean, he made it fun. It was a hobbyist.
Fun for him, maybe. I don't think they yeah. had a great time doing that.
No, there are different types of serial killers. There's process versus product. A process killer enjoys the act. They really want to torture people. They really enjoy the actual killing. Mm-hmm. A product killer just wants the dead body. So like Jeffrey Dahmer, he didn't enjoy killing them. He just really wanted their corpse so that he could not feel lonely and love the corpse in his twisted way. Mm-hmm. Serial killers, technically 3 or more. You were talking about like vigilante serial killers. They don't really exist. Unfortunately, okay. there's no recorded Dexters out there. Who knows? Maybe there was a cop out there that we don't see as a serial killer. Maybe in some way, shape or form. And also, you'd be surprised that there are very intelligent serial killers. But that's been glamorized in movies like Silence of the Lambs and things like that. But the Hannibal Lecters out there are actually rare. Most of them aren't that bright. And you think, well, how did they get away with it for so long if they've killed multiple people? Mm-hmm. Well, this is law enforcement. There's a really, you'd think this is common sense, but jurisdictions usually don't communicate with each other. Right. And this is still happening today. If you kill someone in Idaho and Ohio and Florida, it's going to take them longer to put the pieces together because they don't communicate. And like Otis Toole, Henry Lee Lucas, some of the dumbest motherfuckers ever existed, they kept getting away with it because the cops couldn't find a pattern. And they thought, wow, there's no pattern here. They must be brilliant. No, it's just because they were so dumb. They just like would do anything. They'd kill someone with a tire iron and then they'd do something, strangle them. And like, they just kept doing random shit, but it wasn't like it was planned. Bundy, who was intelligent, he got away with it because he did multiple states all the time. There's a big theory right now. Well, it's a thing that different, the feds are looking into this and have been for a long time. There's an organized group of truckers across the nation that are killing prostitutes all over the country. It's really easy as a trucker because you can dismember the body in the back of the truck and then you can just chuck pieces of the body in different states as you go around.
Oh no.
Yeah, like and this is happening, but it's very hard to verify even in this day and age with all of our technology and cameras. And I would recommend a great documentary called, I'm blanking on the name right now. I think it's A Killing Time. That might be a movie I'm thinking of, but that gets to that conclusion at the end of it.
I see. That's crazy to hear.
Yeah, there's around 50 active serial killers at any time in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll send you the correct name of the documentary and you can link it. I'm just blanking on it.
All good. Okay.
There's there's like one active serial killer. Actually, he hasn't killed in about 8 years. I think someone's going to correct me, but he's Lisk, Long Island serial killer, close to us. And yeah, they believe it could have been somebody in law enforcement. He was killing prostitutes he was getting off of Craigslist back in like the aughts, like for, well, in like 2012-ish, that time period. They suspect he had access to a freezer because he would dump like 10 bodies at once on the beach, but all of them had been previously frozen and were all killed at different times. So he was storing bodies somewhere, access to a meat locker, something like that. But he knew that it would be harder to place time of death and all of that if you froze the bodies. I mean, it was all prostitutes, one that had a kid with them, and the kid was killed as well.
Oh, no.
And he used to go to Port Authority and call the families and harass them. And Port Authority is an easy place to not be traced because there's so much traffic out of it, payphones. So
and so many pastry shops.
So many pastry shops. Oh my God. Aubon Payne. Mm-hmm. Watch out.
Yep.
So there's somebody intelligent. They've made a lot of documentaries about that. This Golden State Killer was just caught. He was one of, yeah. And we know that that's because people are now doing 23andMe and now we have giant DNA databases that's helping to crack cold cases, which is really great. Yeah. I mean, serial killers are fascinating to me because most of the time it's a soup of nature and nurture.
Mm-hmm.
But the most fascinating thing to me is that some people are born with a lack of empathy in their brain, and our science is getting to the point. I mean, we really do need a lot of advancements to deal with this as a society, but you can put a psychopath in an MRI and you can see parts of their brain don't light up the same as a regular person with empathy. When they show people different stimuli, pictures of things that would usually have a reaction from Lenore, if you see a dead kid, you're going to have an emotion, just even a slight reaction in your brain to that. They don't have it. They just don't have it. It's not there. So it's almost a disability,
right?
Because you just aren't capable, right? You can fake it. They always say Robert Hare wrote a book called Without Conscience. He's the one that created the DSM for serial killers. And he says, it's like they know the words, but they don't hear the music. They're very good at faking empathy and acting like they're very, very good at that, but they don't feel anything. So then the question is, what do you do with somebody that doesn't feel anything if they're not a pro-social psychopath and they do have that sadosexual thing with killing? They're killing small animals as a kid and they discover that there's something about that they really like. Then you're in trouble. Like, there's no way to treat it. It's untreatable. So I don't know. You just put these people on an island. It's like pedophiles. It's very, the brain chemistry is the same. They just don't have that empathy part. No, I mean, they're doing research and they're saying some pedophiles do, but that's a whole different psychological condition. But sometimes they're connected. There are, like, Dean Corll was, you could say John Wayne Gacy was also a pedophile serial killer. Right. I mean, so I just am fascinated by the psychology of it, of how somebody is just born with that lack of empathy. And then there's psychologists asking questions then, are they really accountable because they just aren't capable? I mean, of course they are because they did it. But that's fascinating to me, is would there ever be a time in the future where we could somehow give them something in their brain to make those circuits, create the neuroplasticity to create, make those circuits connect and give them empathy? I don't know. That would be pretty cool. But it comes down to a biological thing. And then you add in abuse growing up or a head injury, which is pretty common.
Like so, concussions or?
Early concussions, sexual abuse, of course, physical, mental abuse. I mean, lots of serial killers have issues with their mother. Ed Kemper's a shining example of that. About Ed Kemper,
I know the name, and I know because I watched Mindhunter.
Oh yeah, if anybody wants to know more about this, that's a great show that really sticks to the actual documentation and the data of what the FBI did to start doing profiling. It's really great. Gosh, I'm trying to ask me some questions.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's so much to dig into, and we're already at about 15 minutes. So I'd say, what is one of the things that first interested you in looking at serial killers and stuff like that? Is it just like kind of the pervasiveness in society of like how it's like kind of a fear thing? Or is it something where it was like, oh, wow, the psychology is wild to me. I can't believe people are acting like this. What kind of got you most interested in it?
I think, believe it or not, even though I'm known as a big like horror movie fan and think dark, really dark in my comedy. My comedy's like pitch black my stand up, but I was a very scared kid. I was scared of everything. I couldn't watch horror movies. I mean, everything terrified me. And I saw an Unsolved Mysteries when I was a little kid about the Girl Scout murders. They are these little mm-hmm. girls that were all murdered in their tents on a Girl Scouts camp. And it terrified me. And I just to think that people were capable of that, and it became this obsession to try to understand, because it's so horrific, understand the lack of empathy and how people can do that. And through me reading about the psychological study and understanding that some people just don't have that part of their brain, it kind of helped me, I guess, I don't know, it helped me understand it in an intellectual way. I mm-hmm. made it a little less evil, I guess, to understand that they just couldn't help it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Putting a layer of logic over something that seems illogical and saying like, okay, this is how and why these things would happen. And it's not just this ethereal evil or something like that. It's like, okay, there's kind of a pattern and I can see it and I can anticipate. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's not demons, it's a part of the brain that didn't develop correctly. Absolutely. Oh, and that documentary, it's called The Killing Season. It was on A&E.
Okay.
It's fantastic. It's about modern day serial killers.
That's wonderful. Lauren, thank you so much for joining me today. If people wanted to learn more about you, or they wanted to learn more about this topic, where would you recommend that they go?
Well, about the topic, I would say read Without Conscience, read The Wisdom of Psychopaths. I think those are two of the best books. Look up not Jimmy, but James Fallon. He is a scientist that found out that he himself was a psychopath. He wrote a great book about that. He's pro-social, obviously. And just Google research. I mean, there's all kinds of articles and documentaries about serious ones, maybe by scientists and psychologists. Mm-hmm. And then me, hey, I have a crazy podcast called Alien Murder Sex. You can find that on wherever you listen to podcasts, on YouTube. It's at Alien Murder Sex everywhere. And we do true crime. We basically talk shit and make fun of crazy true crime. We do a little paranormal. And at the end, we review a few minutes of porn every episode, Alien Murder Sex. And then I'm at The Lauren Petrie on all the platforms. I'm a stand-up comic, and my stuff is, I have some serial killer material as well, if you want to find the humor in the most terrible things.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me. I have learned quite a bit today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My name's Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt Splaining.